Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Yay, yay!
Yay, yay! Welcome to the Closer Podcast, episode 366. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dis. Yo soy Mary Ding Dong.
Now I'm telling these sons of bitches that we respect the Japanese of this country who are honest businessmen. And yeah, this is the land of opportunity for legitimate business, not for death merchants who distribute drugs to our children through schools and on the streets. Now I'm telling these motherfuckers that if they continue killing our children to make their precious millions that they deposit in their secret Swiss bank accounts, before your last suit even gets off the court clerk's desk, I'll have their stinking bodies in garbage bags and ship them back to Japan for fertilizer. Got it?
I'll have their stinky balls.
I don't know what that's from. Samurai Cop, 1991.
Okay.
This is Ree.
How's it going, fellas?
Good.
That really gets you in the zone. When you read that,
it really gets you jacked up.
Yeah, when you watch Dahmer and then you read that, watch out.
You're in the right zone.
Bro, I did not realize that was Evan Peters.
he's way too handsome.
I'd gotten through two episodes and then somebody mentioned Evan Peters. I'm like, wait, what? That's Evan Peters?
Really?
Yeah.
You really have like face blindness for actors.
I do.
Face blindness.
And I also don't care. Like I don't like try to look at it. I don't try to look at it and be like, oh, that's Evan Peters.
He's so magnanimous. I don't even see faces anymore.
I don't see faces, dude. Well, no, I just see acting performances.
Cool, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's not that I have a thing that I'm not good at. It's that I don't care.
Yeah. I'm indifferent. I'm just
You're like Bradley Knoll. And apathy is love, and love is what you got.
Yeah.
Without
being hopped up on smack.
Wiggity, wiggity, wee. What do you think about the show, the Dahmer show?
I've only seen two episodes so far, but I'm enjoying it. The first episode I thought was a lot more powerful than the second. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Well, when I first heard about it, it's like, how many times are they going to go back to the same fucking well here, right? And it's also a Netflix show, so I'm like, okay. And it's Ryan Murphy, the guy who fucking did American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as soon as I checked it, and there was a controversy, because apparently the families of the victims are like, how many times do we have to be fucking re-traumatized by the same shit?
Well, you shouldn't have let your family members get killed by a serial killer then.
Well,
that's on you.
I'm actually not going to.
I heard something about that recently, that this whole true crime movement is actually doing a lot of harm to the families that...
Well, yeah, imagine that. Well, people are glorifying... See, I'd read an article recently, too, about how shows like this Dahmer show are helping glorify killers, and we already lived in a society where people were sending killers love letters in jail.
For this show in particular, I would say less glorified and more like creates like a sympathetic character, which is like,
well, it's potentially probably, look, the thing is, it's inherently exploitative, right? Obviously. But it's the only reason it's exploitative in the first place is because there's a appetite for it, and by that I mean we are legitimately curious about these kinds of people for good reason, because they're people and so are we, and they do a pretty good job of like throwing
people
in,
are people,
people are people,
why should it be,
why should it be that you have to cut up a dude and fuck his corpse when just because he has to go to work, you know what I mean?
It doesn't rhyme.
Yeah. No, but
that's not a good song.
That was a horrible freestyle.
When I turned on the first episode out of curiosity, the first episode. The reason "om" works because it comes from the chest,
uh-huh,
and then it ends on the lips. So you see what I'm saying?
I see it.
So you come on the lips.
Come on the lips. Also, they left out the chanting because I was looking up the Wikipedia in the first episode with this guy. Supposedly, Dahmer was also doing chanting while they were watching Exorcist 3, which is great. Apparently, he was actually obsessed with Exorcist 3 and Return of the Jedi.
He was doing a little bit of it. He was like mumbling to himself.
Okay, good.
In the first episode, which is it drops you in a weird spot.
Like at the end.
Well, it drops you.
They memento you.
It drops you in a spot where it's the. I mean, well, I don't want to be a spoiler. Yeah, it drops you in a weird spot, and I actually really appreciate. I'm up to episode 7. Which is The Force Awakens, right?
Ah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Where he begins really eating sandwiches of people and stuff.
When does he get his legs chopped off, though, dude?
But friggin', I like the order, how it is out of order. The structure of it, I think, makes it more engaging. And we grew up hearing about this, but I didn't know these details. I didn't know about, like, okay, he had shit happen here at grandma's house. He had shit happen at the apartment.
The original grandma's boy, dude.
Yeah.
But when they go into... there's like,
you didn't have to stop talking, dude.
Well, he can't do both. Yeah, he can't make a face and also talk.
That's mean.
No, that's you.
That's you, dude.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. So I think it's well produced. I think it's well acted, and I think it's pretty fascinating. And it does have some new stuff to say about, like, fuck, man, these people were saying this for a year that there was something going on.
Yeah.
And then the shit with the Laotian kid, which I remembered hearing about growing up. Like, it is a real fucking thing that these cops, it's a very good example, again, of the systemic issue, because I'm not saying they're necessarily fucking consciously prejudiced. That's not the issue. The issue is, oh, this lady, this older black lady is just bitching.
She's just crazy.
We can't take her seriously.
Well, I have, dude, like, my brain was like, was doing this thing where I'm like, oh, this isn't a true story. So this black dude is going to get annihilated by these cops. Like, he doesn't stand a chance. But, you know, he survives.
They didn't do that, thankfully.
What the other thing, too, is I oftentimes forget how close to this history we are. Because he got caught in, what, 91?
Yeah.
That in my head, I go, well, Dahmer was active in the 70s. Like, the fuck?
It's because it's got all this fucking, like, carryover to the other serial killers that are all... And they're all in the same file, right?
Yeah.
Probably in your head, I guess.
Well, like... like, Richard Ramirez is what, like, 70s?
He's the 80s.
80s?
Yeah, the Night Stalker.
And so it's like, I guess I didn't even think they came anywhere near the... I came a lot in the 90s.
Yeah. The late 90s. I came a lot in the late 90s. Starting in like 96, it was fucking 95. Well, actually, not true. 94. 94 was probably the
first time. It was like 7:30 p.m.
Yeah. Jesus. About a year after Jurassic Park is when it happened.
Wow. Like, so I was 10 years old.
But wait a minute, man. Well, you're saying, I think the music is good. And I know it's maybe it sounds like, but it's like a real, like, lonely, eerie sounding theme. And I looked it up and it's Nick Cave and Warren Ellis did the music.
You mean the one they call Daddy?
The one they call Daddy.
I don't, who's they?
I don't know. You're the one who said it.
No, he said it.
I said it, but I was talking about someone else, but it worked out because it just sounded absolutely
I thought you were the one who said they called him Daddy.
No, he was trying to think of Nick Cave's name, and he's like, yeah, you know, you like him.
Called Daddy.
And Nick from Reanimated likes him. You know, the one, the folk singer they call Daddy. And like, I thought he was talking about Amigo for a minute, and I was like, do I call Danny Daddy? Like,
I mean, fucked maybe? Up that. I fucked up that lore in my head big time.
I gotta say, episode 6 of this series, have you gotten there yet?
No, I'm on 3.
Then I'm not gonna say, I will say this though, it is the one where it becomes clear to me, like, in my opinion, they should have done the whole thing around this situation, because it's the saddest episode of the series. And I won't mention much, because when you get there, you'll get there, if you get there. If you're going to watch the show. But yeah, I don't want to say I'm enjoying the show, but it's got my attention and I'm going to finish the show. And there's a lot to fucking unpack in this story. Like, it's not just one thing. It's a shitload of things. Like, it's fucking, you know, he's smashing bones with a sledgehammer. And then, like, the cadavers, the roadkill with his dad. And then, like, the mom who's got fucking mental illness and fucking suicide attempt. And then, like, the homosexuality thing. And then there's a lot. And then, like, the cool fucking shirts they show from 1991. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how the early 90s, they look like they should have cell phones, but they just don't. Like, it's like a modern-looking time.
But it's just no cell phones.
It's just no cell phones. But, like, we're modern. We're modern now, but we don't have fucking internet yet.
You know who else looks like they should have cell phones, but they don't? Find folks at patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Yeah. You're doing it right here, huh?
Yeah.
How do right you there.
Just throwing it in there.
Okay.
So well, you know, we're going to try a little experiment. So if you want to listen to the rest of this show, you got to join Patreon.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about what we watched.
We are. But not for them.
This fucking breaks my heart. Yeah.
We'll see how it works.
I just don't want you guys to leave.
We'll see how it works.
Okay, you know what, dude? Go home.
I want you guys to... Can't you stay with me?
They can.
Everyone always wants to leave me.
Oh, shit.
We're going to stay, dude. You'll be right
I'm gonna
here.
I'm going to put on my Emperor Palpatine contacts.
That's fucking dope. I look just like the Emperor.
he's so cool.
The Emperor is so cool. And he loves soft rock. It's like, dude, I can't believe Dahmer just loves soft rock.
Not only that song fucked me up.
Which
dude.
Song?
So they play it a few times in episode 2, I think. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They do a good job with the recreation of time and place. Yeah, I'm looking at the Discord also because you mentioned it on there.
Please don't go.
Please don't go.
So okay. But do you remember the 90s version of this song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man.
That's a good song.
Don't go. Please don't go. That's fucking elementary school.
I don't want you to know. It was crazy for me because I was watching the show and I go, I've never heard this song in my life. But I know all the words.
Really?
Yeah.
How have you never heard it?
I've heard that version, okay. But not the Casey and the Sunshine version.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even know it was a remake till this show.
Well, there you go.
I didn't.
Dahmer provides.
Dahmer showed me that this was a remake.
Cool. Mm.
You know what else is a remake? Mm. The fucking Munsters. Ugh.
Talk to us about the Munsters.
Holy shit.
And should we do a show on the Munsters?
Ugh. There is so much material there.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched it today. Okay, to be fair, I did not watch the last 12 minutes.
Pero por qué?
Because I thought there was a good chance Rhett may have watched it, and I was like, I can't let him do it by himself. Like,
for real?
Yeah, I thought with it coming out today and us recording today, there was a chance that you may have been up at like midnight and been like, I'm watching this shit right now.
Whoa, you're. I don't want to talk trash about this.
Maybe not anymore, but you have been like up at midnight, 1 a.m. starting movies.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't, but not for this.
Okay, well, I don't know. I thought there was a possibility.
Without being forced to watch this film, you know when you're browsing Netflix and the preview automatically starts?
Oh, yeah.
That was far too much for
me. See, I didn't even see that.
It was Herman walking down a country road, drunk and thinking about how he's going to talk to what's her face.
Yep.
And it's like I've got incurable autism because of this scene.
So it's so weird because it's Rob Zombie doing a PG movie, and like the guy doesn't know.
This is the kind of film to cause autism, dude.
Yes. It like will cause it and then cure it and then make it come back even worse.
Oh, dude. Dead Ringers, Angel like, Heart, these cause autism.
Dude, okay. You remember how when we did The Fanatic, we were all like, this is so bad, but it was really charming and we loved it.
Of course.
Like,
well, not
this,
charming.
This is not that at all. It's just awful bad. It looks like a really shitty episode of Goosebumps, like with the weird Technicolor path that he chose. Sherry Moon Zombie is Sherry Moon Zombieing it up as she's wont to do. Herman's voice is like borderline grating. They do a Sonny and Cher bit where they literally dress up like Sonny and Cher.
No, and they sing
I've Got You, Babe.
No.
Speaking of The Fanatic, there's a part where they get to LA and they're like driving around all erratically and then it starts doing the little hand-drawn like city stuff. I have my mom watching the movie right now. She's the reason that I grew up watching The Munsters and Addams Family. She didn't like horror, but she loves Munsters.
So she's the reason for the season.
For
spooky season.
I would say my dad is, because my dad always had like Return of the Living Dead and shit like that. My mom doesn't really watch horror movies, but she loved The Munsters and The Addams Family, and she's watching it right now and she fucking hates it. She's like, it's so boring. And then she sends me this little gif of Sonny and Cher, and she's like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I've only been able to watch like very quickly at work because I kept hearing it was out. I looked at Netflix on my phone while I was taking a shit at work, and I watched the first 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what. So I am eager.
That's all you need.
Well, it was really bad immediately from the opening shot of a graveyard.
Yeah.
It's like,
the grandpa is okay.
Don't say that.
Don't do this. His look is very like on par with the original guy. Nothing. Like he's no, it's his okay. look. His look is on par with
the not original even the guy. Original show is okay.
That's
Matt.
What I. That's.
See, I liked the original
if
show.
If you came for the, here to for hear the time, us talk good about things like this, then listen to Matt.
For the time that it came out, The Munsters was a charming, fun little show.
For the time it came out, The Monkees was a great
that
thing.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
My mom loves The Monkees.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that it stands the test of time and I have to like it now.
My mom loves The Monkees.
Fuck The Monkees. Yeah. No, I don't have any skin in the game here. You get what I'm saying? These aren't my things.
We used to watch The Monkee Show, dude.
Hey, we're the Monkees.
I have a feeling if I were in the 60s, I wouldn't have liked The Monkees.
We're
then
too
either.
Busy singing to put anybody
you know what?
Down.
I'd prefer the Monkees to the Munsters. Mm.
Okay.
I'd rather watch one of those movies of the Monkees than the Munsters.
Okay. Well, you should still watch the Munsters movie because you need to see how bad it is.
Are like, we going
to
do an episode?
I don't think so. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe for Patreon.
I will not watch it unless
Let's
we're doing
it. Let's do a Patreon
it.
Of the new Addams Family and the new Munsters.
You really just want George to die. He's like, let's do Hocus Pocus 2, the new Munsters, the Addams Family, and Smile all in the same week.
Well, please. So from what I'm
Dude,
hearing,
I'm
though.
I'm totally down.
What I'm
down,
hearing, down. Though, is Smile may... Maybe surprise good, us a yeah. bit.
Well, and I am fucking super pissed because I don't want it. I don't want it to be even middling or anything.
What
other
if
than
of
horrible.
The four films that it's like, oh shit, like it's not bad.
That's why I had to watch The Munsters. I knew it was going to be an abomination, and I need solid bottom five contenders.
I need bottomation.
Yeah, I need bottoms.
Power bottoms. Is The Munsters a power bottom?
No, it just lays there like a dead
it's a
fish.
Gimp.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just a limp gimp. Doesn't even spread the cheeks for you. It just lays there. Doesn't even help.
What else do
and
you
then
watch?
It farts and thinks it's funny.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's you.
But that's not all I do.
I watched Barbarian twice. I watched. Uh-oh. I tried to show somebody Greasy Strangler. That did not go so well.
was this a relative normal person?
Relative, yeah. And then we put on, we had to stop halfway through and put on What We Do in the Shadows. And then they fell asleep and I watched What We Do in the Shadows.
Couldn't even handle What We Do in the Shadows.
Nope. Yeah. And
but
then
noped out halfway through Greasy Strangler, huh?
I saw, what did I go to the theater for? I saw something else in the theater recently.
It's compelling.
Just write it down.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? Maybe we should cut this part out of the first half of the show.
Well, you know what? You can say what you watched, and I'll check my AMC app, because that's where I had gone to see the thing. Or maybe I'll just like, I saw Pearl. That's what I saw.
Oh!
I watched Pearl.
Jesus. Dude, do we want to do an episode on this?
It's not in the slate.
I know. The slate isn't all that exists, Matt.
Well, I mean.
The slate's only four fucking movies.
Yeah, but you know what? But then, by that time, it's like late. It's already been out a while.
Oh, let me shut this door.
No, it's going to get too hot, dude.
Well, I got to be able to scream.
You don't have to.
Okay, well, it's fun. It makes for good listening.
For whom?
For me.
Oh, okay, got it.
But why do you care what
so,
people
yeah,
think?
Do I talk about Pearl?
If we're not doing an episode, because you fucking, you go first, so I can disagree with you.
Well, I mean, how into it am I getting? That's the thing. Are we going to talk about
it? Are
we
waiting for Jorge?
Have you seen it?
Dude, we have like eight movies that are already in the slate.
Let me tell you, dude. It's in my top five for the year so far.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I bet you're not. No. Because you went to Iron Maiden instead.
I sure as shit did.
Stop it.
Man, they're get fucking old.
Yeah, but like yeah. Bruce Dickinson straining to sing at 65 with a man.
No, Bruce Dickinson didn't strain at all. Like everybody, I felt like their drummer was like really suffering. Like, Because it felt like a lot of the faster parts were slowed down.
Dude, but it's okay. They're in their 60s.
Their stage show is dope.
I would hope so. Dope. Their whole thing is gimmicky.
So it dope.
Always has been.
Yeah, I'm going to catch shit for this, but the show itself was kind of boring. I'm just like, what? The pit, dead.
Please go on. Dead. Please say more. So what did you say was boring?
Iron Maiden's live performance was boring.
Shocking. I am so shocked.
Like, I was surprised.
65-year-old British metal band was boring.
I was surprised that the pit was as dead as it was. But, you know, you figure it's like a bunch of like 60-year-old metalheads probably. You know, and then what Amy pit? From Three Punks.
Has, dude, has Iron Maiden ever, stop it, stop it, don't do it. People like them. Do they?
Yeah.
People, dude, they have
that a show is packed. There's people from so many shirts? Countries.
Of course people like them. Dude, they have to.
Those shirts skulls. Were $50 and people were buying them like skulls, like dude. Hotcakes. Just buying dude, like 3, 4, 5 Iron shirts Maiden at a time.
Misfits are my favorite, dude. Skulls.
So
skulls.
My friend Amanda that I went with, she was like, how many or what percentage of this group do you think only knows about Iron Maiden because of Stranger Things season 4?
Oh, wow.
And because I guess there's a metalhead and he wears like, I heard Metallica was featured on there. I didn't know Maiden was. But I was like, oh, I didn't even know about that. But Iron Maiden and Misfits are the two bands that like everybody goes to Hot Topic and just buys the shirt because it looks cooler because their older brother used to listen to them or something, you know? And like in Mexico, you walk down the little plazas in TJ and it's like Iron Maiden and fucking Misfits everywhere. Those are like the starter into punk and metal shirts. Hmm. It's like you just even...
It's like it's not about the music.
Yeah, you even just say like, I like punk and... It's like how Nirvana shirts, you know, you get all these people wearing Nirvana shirts and they don't actually listen to the band because like Nirvana sucks.
It's but almost like it's all bullshit.
All of it, the whole world. But yeah, I did
No, all of that.
I did go to Iron Maiden and it gave me a chance to sing Teenage Dirtbag a lot.
Yes, because 2 tickets to Iron Maiden, baby.
Yeah, dude. Like, how often am I going to get a chance to sing that?
Wait a minute. What were we talking about before Iron Maiden?
We were talking about Pearl.
Pearl. So we've talked about Iron Maiden, Pearl, and now it's in my top 5 for the year so far.
Iron Maiden is? Yep.
Fuck no. Better than X? Let me
do you enjoy it more than X?
I think it's a much better movie than X. And when people talk about, I heard someone mention, and it's, I'm not saying this to be a dick, but it gives us I'm not.
I don't believe you.
No, I'm totally not. It was one of the Patreon members that like I enjoyed X, but I didn't need a trilogy around it. I don't feel like this is a trilogy around X. I feel like
is there going to be a third one?
There is going to be a third one. You didn't stay through the credits?
No.
Okay, so it's
I thought I did.
I get. X is the first film, but it's a trilogy of Ty West getting to explore these same kind of themes of sex and death with different tropes from different eras. In the 40s in this one, previously in the 70s with those tropes, and next Maxine, which is going to be Mia Goth again in the role, like when she takes off an X, it's about her in the 80s where she goes and becomes like a movie, or not a movie star, but a film star.
Okay.
And it's Maxine with 3 X's. And this is the real thing. Mia Goth, this is a showcase for Mia Goth now. Like, all 3 of these movies. But this one, like, Mia Goth was fucking insane. Like, she is immediately an A-list for her generation to me now.
Wow.
Like there's this shot at the end, Matt, where they have that sustained, fucked up smile.
Yeah, dude. Her eyes just start watering, and it's like...
I am not going to fucking lie to you before you say why you hate it or why you don't think it's that good. The first 20 minutes, I did my... I'm disassociating from Ty West's fucking pacing right now and actually spaced out for 4 or 5 minutes. Once she got to the projectioner's place, I started getting interested again. And then once the stuff started happening, like around 40 minutes, and she did that audition, that's when I'm like, okay. And then they had like a split screen dinner montage. They had the shit with the scarecrow. Like,
so is Ty West like doing things?
I think he's doing things.
Nice.
I like this movie a lot. And I really, again, there's a monologue there's like a 4-minute monologue where the writing's great and she has to fucking deliver this whole monologue. It's one of the best monologues I've seen in recent memory.
We've been fairly kind to Ty West over the years, haven't we?
I don't think so.
No?
We were really big on House of the Devil. I thought Innkeepers was boring as shit.
He went for a few years without making it.
Then he did, I think he did The Sacrament. And I didn't like that. I didn't like most of the stuff he did.
It's the Devil, Innkeeper, Sacrament. VHS, which section was his? His was the I one?
Maybe. I don't remember which one his was.
Yeah, fucking, I like the Wizard of Oz tropes and all that kind of shit. And also, there's like, it's not around X, but X makes more sense now. You got the crocodile, you got her dance that she does as an old lady later. And you get to, like, you know, you get the backstory of her and that poor fucking guy who comes back from the military. So, Matt, cool. Why did you hate it?
I didn't. I actually quite liked it.
Oh, good.
I
hate it.
That fucking...
Joke's on you, idiot.
That monologue, dude. Like, for a minute, you forget that person she's talking to is a woman. Like, you think she's talking to who she's supposed to be talking. Like, you
so
really,
does she, because yeah, she hasn't talked to anyone.
No, but that's the thing, is like, we as an audience know that she's not talking to the person that she's directing her words to.
Yeah.
But like, you still forget that. You think that she's actually talking to that person because she's so convincing in her delivery.
And it gives us all the backstory we could ever want. Just from her performance and the delivery.
And it was well paced. I've been noticing this a lot lately. There's a lot of movies where I'm like, yeah, it's a good movie. It's just not
a horror film.
It's just not for me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I think Pearl is one of those movies. It's I can see why it's a great movie, and Mia Goth turns in one hell of a performance. And then, you know, the last 15 minutes especially are just fucking bananas.
Right. The dinner thing and, into that fucking, that shit's great.
Like, and it's good, man. Like, I went there on a date and we were both like hella into it. And
it's funny too, like in spots.
It has its moments. Yeah. And like, I haven't watched X since, but I feel like I may get a new appreciation. X, the band? Fuck no. X sucks.
No, I was talking about the D.
Huh?
To the M, to the X.
Oh, no. I thought you meant X is in, like, the punk band what fronted by Xene Cervenka. No.
X. Exhibit.
No. Unless it's hardcore, dude. Like, X Headstrong X.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, no. Man, Pearl was something else. Pearl, okay. I definitely recommend. I would like to, you know, maybe watch it again and then try to watch X afterwards, because I really do. I really do think that Pearl was a poorly underdeveloped character in X.
Well, I think that's...
And I get it in terms of a trilogy, but releasing that movie first, I feel like...
I think it's great.
Like, having seen Pearl, I have a whole new appreciation for what she is or what she could be in X, and I feel like a lot of that was kind of lost on me the first time.
Was it originally intended to be a trilogy, yes, or the success of X?
No, because he had the teaser for Pearl at the end of X.
And he has the teaser for Maxine at the end of this.
I must have missed that. Like, because I stayed through the whole like long pause shot, and I thought I stayed through the whole credits.
But... I recorded it. It's on the Discord, dude.
Oh, dope.
Because I'm a fucking dork, bro.
He's the kind of guy who pulls his phone out during a fucking movie.
Oh, and no one gives a fuck because they can't see it. What the fuck? Oh, excuse me.
Wow.
That was so loud. So wait. I agree with you that it, and a few other critics said this too, that it makes the previous film a better film too.
Yeah.
And I haven't even watched it again since. Because again, it's not like it's made around X. X makes more sense now.
Yeah.
I think releasing X first is actually genius to me, because it comes out under the pretense of A24, Ty West version of Texas Chainsaw. And then it does like various rug pulls. And now in context, it's like, no, he's just only exploring that part of it in that era. And it starts in the middle of the story. He's starting in the middle, and then he's like, because why would I care about Pearl at all? You get what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't care about Pearl if it was the first movie that came out. Now I kind of care a little bit more because I've seen X. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I didn't walk into Pearl thinking I would like it as much as I did.
I was hoping I did, because, you know, it from the trailer, or not even the trailer, but the little teaser during X, it looked a lot more violent. And it's like, it looks a lot more violent than it is, and it didn't bother me that it wasn't as visceral as I thought it was going to be.
There's some gross imagery, which is pretty effective.
Oh, there is. Yeah, there definitely is.
It's very I don't want to say unique, but kind of like with that fuck decomposing thing, you know, that's kind of,
Ooh, speaking of unique energy, Terrifier is going to be in theaters. That might be fun. But yeah, that's what I watched. And I saw Iron Maiden and Propaganda got fucking postponed and I'm pissed.
Huh?
Propaganda got postponed to the day I get back from Telluride. My flight gets in at 7:05.
Buck 05.
Yeah, and I got to be at Music Box as soon as possible afterwards.
Speaking of pretty decent proximity.
Speaking of the Music Box, I saw a band called Black Midi there.
Yeah, we know because you're wearing the shirt.
Dude. Oh.
I thought about wearing my Iron Maiden shirt just to like clown on Rhett.
It worked out great too because
would it really be clowning on him? It would be more clowning on you because you bought one.
No, I didn't buy one. Somebody bought one for me.
Well,
it's clowning. But it's on like me. How Rhett goes to a show and then waits to wear the shirt until he does the podcast.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that.
That's like, a Waffle House shirt. It is. That's pretty dope.
It's dope.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
I like it. I like it.
Go figure. We need those
out here.
Yeah, someday they'll suck. We're not there yet. Right now, these motherfuckers are young. And full of spunk. You thought I was going to say cum, huh?
I thought you were going to say creative intent.
Exactly. They've got it. These folks from Britain, Jesus, man. This drummer, Morgan Simpson, and it worked out great because we fucking, Sophia and I went there and then we ended up getting a table because both hadn't eaten. And it was a little more expensive, but then the security guard's like, hey, I see you trying to like get a good view. If you can totally come up here, and it was like right behind fucking Morgan Simpson, the drummer, and we weren't like surrounded by a bunch of other people, and it was
dupe.
It was like my birthday. It was lovely, and that you saw the video.
Did you have some guy behind you being like, "This is
no,
this lovely. Is amazing"?
No, all of us were like, "Isn't looking this so at amazing?" The there was no guy fucking like, "How amazing is this?" It's like, you motherfucker, dude. Like, you don't. There was not one person being like that. Go figure. But and also, Black Country New Road is another band from Britain.
Yeah, the Lil Nas X song.
Yeah, and Call Me by Your Name.
Yep,
that's dope, dude.
Gonna make my way down the Black Country New Road.
Well, because that's an area in Britain. Anyway, they were great too. And they don't have Isaac, their lead singer, because he left the band for mental health issues. So they didn't do any songs from their first two albums. So it was kind of like, one, can they survive without this guy? And two, what do these new songs sound like? And they have a very promising future without him. And that's great to know.
All right, cool.
And Britain got it going on with that shit.
Neat.
What else?
You've got it going on with that shit, dude.
So Munsters sucked.
Yep.
Adam's Family, gonna suck.
Dahmer, pretty dope.
Can I say two other things I watched?
Sure.
It was kind of a slow week otherwise. I watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Hell yeah.
And I love it. And why don't you have a toy of fucking Christopher Lloyd? Because wouldn't that be dope?
It would. Get me one.
Okay.
Do they have one?
I bet they do.
I bet they do.
They better have one.
What was his name? It wasn't Judge Dredd, was it?
Judge something.
Judge Sludge. Fuck.
I forgot what it was, but yes. I watched While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock.
Wow.
And Bill Pullman.
Holy dude, I watched that recently. Shit, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh my god, that's good.
They're watching like Dahmer and all this shit. And somebody, I'm like, hold up, we need to watch something.
Somebody else. Mentioned Where the Heart Is, and I was like, I'm starting that motherfucker up today.
Dear,
Natalie Portman. Ashley Judd.
Mm-hmm. I've been keeping myself from watching Walk to Remember recently because that shit's going to make me cry.
Hella. I don't watch that.
It's going to hella make me cry.
Yeah.
Poor Mandy Moore, all she wanted was to be loved.
You said his name is Judge Doom?
Judge Doom.
That's a little on the nose, but
still works.
It still works. Because when he fucking...
reminds me of Here Comes the Boom. Did you see that fucking video of the dude from POD with Evanescence doing My Immortal? Or
Bring No. Alive? I'm going to check it out.
That was wild, dude.
It's so dope. That sounds scary.
I'm going to check it out. So dope. Well, speaking of the break, we're going to take a quick one and we'll be right back to talk about a film.
Fuck you. What'd you watch?
Nothing important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Fucking small piece of pizza.
Dude. Yeah, dude. He really laid into that thing. My God.
That was good.
Oh, guess what, dummy?
We're back.
We're fucking back. You already talked about Patreon. The Who Goes Your Podcast watched a little film called... Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
With all that waiting.
Oh, my God.
All that waiting, he still hasn't pulled it up.
It's called Barbarian, 2022's Barbarian, written and directed by Zach Cregger.
Cregger!
Starring Georgina Campbell, Bill Skarsgård, Justin Long, Matthew Patrick Davis, Richard Brake, Kurt Bernhalnuller, and a bunch of other people. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Barbarian, dude?
Barbarian. Well, I've said this twice on the same episode, but look, there's a lot more movies to fucking come out, and this has been a slow year for horror up to this point, in my opinion.
For horror.
This also is... among my favorites in the genre so far this year. So I'll just come right out of the gate and say that.
I feel like you say that about every movie, dude.
I've only said that about two movies this year.
So this far. Week.
Well, like, I did just fucking qualify and clarify exactly that. And I said there's a lot more fucking movies to come out this year now that we're not in the doldrums.
There's still monsters to watch, dude.
There's still monsters and the Addams Family. That's not a movie.
And Hocus Pocus.
Ooh. Hocus Pocus.
No, but there is... anyway, I'm not going over the list of hopefully good horror movies that will be coming out.
Yeah, you know Hocus Pocus will be good.
I mean, this started getting a lot of buzz that, you know, at the festival circuits. And I started hearing very, like, specific types of things. And so it piqued my interest. And it was one where I knew that the trailer wasn't going to make or break my interest for it. But anyway, I went and saw it based upon the word of mouth. And... yeah, I really fucking enjoy this movie. I had no clue where this was going from 10 minutes to the next. I had no fucking idea where this was going to go. And I thought the performances are pretty damn good. I thought Justin Long is having a fucking blast in this movie, and he plays this fucking guy very well. On the front end, a lot of the dialogue felt kind of like stilted to me between her and... Skarsgård, but I guess it makes more sense because it really started making me feel like, oh, he's got something fucked up going on, which I think was the point. It's like misdirection, you know, because it turns out not to be the deal. Anyway, and then when it gets to that point where a lot of shit happens, then it fucking does this massive change about not halfway through, but almost halfway through, and it does this backstory for Justin Long. And I'm a little discombobulated and thrown around, but I'm like, okay, let's see where this is going. And then I love the bit when he goes to the fucking house and he finds this fucking extra room in there. And the first thing he starts doing is fucking getting a tape measure out.
That fucked me up because I'd be like, that's me, dude.
Well, that's the idea, right? And I thought, and then I started getting these like fucking undercurrents of what it's talking about with its themes. And I was talking to Sophia about it here and there. And then it was like, okay, this is definitely about that. Because, you know, he's just trying to monetize this. And he's completely oblivious to the fact of what this implies, that all this shit is there. He doesn't care because he's never had to worry about survival, I guess. Anyway, a lot of people have said stuff about the ending, which we'll get there. I actually really liked the ending. I had a lot of fucking fun with this movie. I thought it gave me enough to think about. And again, I mean, I had no clue where it was going 10 minutes to the next. And I didn't know where it was going to end up. And I'll leave it there for right now.
Matty Ding Dong.
I did not like this movie at all.
Okay.
That's a mistake.
And then I went to the well and I asked Jacob, why does everybody love this movie? What am I missing?
You asked me too. Is everyone taking crazy pills?
I did. And I talked to Rhett and I was like, what the fuck? And then... I decided to watch it again. And so I watched it again. And I like it a lot more the second time.
Show over.
The entire first 30, 40 minutes. So like I went into this movie knowing nothing. And with a name like Barbarian, like you expect certain things. Like I expected there to be... I mean, well, you know, more or less, you know, I expected there to be some big hulking killer that was just like incredibly brutal and fucked up. And like
Justin Long.
you keep getting introduced to these little things that lead you to believe the movie's going one way and it doesn't. And when you're expecting that and you keep getting built up for these things, it's really disappointing, which is what I felt the first time. The second time I went in and I'm looking at it a little more objectively now, knowing where the movie's going, and I noticed that what it does, and it's not something that I've seen very often, except in movies that are like parodies, like Tucker and Dale, is they will introduce a trope and your like horror aficionado brain is like, okay, this is what's going to happen. All the shit with Skarsgård, the whole time you're thinking, right, he's, you know, he's a killer. Like, this wasn't double booked. You know, he's planning something. He makes her a drink and you're like, oh, don't drink that. Like, it's going to be fucking poisoned. Every step of the way, you're questioning, just waiting for him to strike and be like the big bad that you're expecting.
It plays on all our modern anxieties about that.
The whole time, you know, like, even to, you know, like, the very end of their time together, without getting into spoilers, you're like, yeah, this motherfucker's up to something the whole time. And then it basically becomes a completely different movie. It becomes like a little more meta, a little more cute. And the thing with Justin Long is like, he's a total piece of shit. And the reason why that works is because normally you're supposed to have a likable protagonist. Like, you're supposed to want to root for these people. And halfway through the movie, the girl that you've grown accustomed to is like now no longer there. So now we're following Justin Long and he's facing these rape allegations, but he's like, she's lying, I'm a good guy. And you see throughout the film how he sees himself as like the hero in his own story, which like we all are. But he's a victim. And there's a lot of like themes of victimhood and stuff like that in this film. And Justin Long will even like tell his, you know, he tells him, I didn't rape this girl, like I'm totally innocent. But then when he explains it to his friend, he basically outright admits to raping this girl. Yeah, but the way he sees it was she just needed a little convincing, you know. And there's other instances of that where he sees himself as a good person capable of change and being something more than just a piece of shit. And then he immediately 180s and in one of my favorite scenes of any movie ever.
Dan?
Yeah, dude. No, I'm just saying, like, he really proves like who his character is. And so, like, there's a lot, there's a lot of that. This movie is oddly enough best viewed when you're going into it completely blind. But I think if it doesn't gel for you the first time, you have to watch it again.
Yeah. So for Matt's viewing, he needed to watch it the first time blind, have it explained to him, and then watch it again.
It wasn't even that. The explanations didn't really do.
This movie is best viewed not liking it the first time blind.
So the explanation didn't really do anything for me, because even after I talked to Jacob and Rhett, I was still like, I don't fucking get it.
I need
like,
Jacob Denton to kind of walk me through it.
I need, dude. He's like, you don't need me to explain it. There's no, I'm like, no, I don't get it. Like, why is, like, but yeah, that's the thing. It's
I
like,
think what threw you off, like you said, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way at all, is the trope thing, like you said.
Yeah, well, see, I see these tropes, and
I'm like, fuck yeah, keep doing that.
I expect certain things. Even, like, I don't know what's in the trailer, and I want to get to what George thinks, and I don't want to get into spoilers, but, like, when that room with the video camera is introduced, I am expecting several levels of things, none of which were met.
Yeah.
The instance with the videotapes, I had a big problem with, but then upon a subsequent viewing and talking about it a little bit, it's very effective and very well done. And we'll get into all that, but it's, yeah, like really the first view, because of the tropes and because of the things that I expect, I felt like I was constantly let down at every turn. And that's not to say that people in this movie don't make dumb fucking decisions, because they absolutely make dumb fucking decisions, but...
Yes.
What would you do in that situation?
What would you
would
do?
You would want to know, but either way, that's a trope in and of itself.
Yeah.
People making dumb decisions in horror movies.
Yeah.
Right? Good ones and bad ones, for that matter. But, and in life, as it turns out.
Right, exactly.
What the fuck am I talking about?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. What happened to you, dude?
Like, that was a dumb decision. Go for it.
Like, just that, right there. Yeah. I'll make it short. Other than the ending, which I feel like it didn't quite stick the landing, I really enjoyed the almost episodic feel to this film.
Yeah, the sections of it.
Where each section felt like kind of disparate from the previous one, but as like it was almost like an anthology film without being terrible.
And clicks into place.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. The usual bit where I'm like, I fucking saw that coming. Not the case this time. I actually really enjoyed the surprises that we got. The quote unquote villain, both real and imagined, were dope as shit. What I mean, you know, Justin.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
You mean the Beast Bitch and Justin Long.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. I think everybody's doing a really good job in this film. The acting is pretty darn good. Like you said, some of the decisions these people make are straight up stupid as hell. In terms of like what you would do as a person. I'm running. Like I'm leaving like half of the time. I'm like, yo, fuck this, dude. I'm out. Yeah. But otherwise, really enjoyable film, and we'll talk about the ending eventually.
And if you want to hear the rest of the review, you
that's all you get.
New format.
New format. We're going to cut 10 minutes into everything.
What is that shit? Because I don't play video games fucking like you guys do, where you got to buy more
microtransaction, content. Everything.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Do it like that.
All DLC.
Yeah, you know, like DLC. That other show has been content. Doing for years.
Yeah, we don't want to give that impression. So, that's not the idea here, right? Is it? That's not the idea.
No,
it's not like Barbarian, right?
No.
Is that like that?
No, not like that at all.
So, where to fucking start, right? I guess this is one to break down linearly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not just plot-wise, but this is a lot of plot. This is a lot of pacing-wise.
They crunch through a lot.
They really do, and I think it's super effective. And then when they start doing the reveal of the basement, and how they really just do this inch by inch, and the rope like in the fucking wall, and then you get to the room with the camera like Matt said.
Well, even the finding the rope felt natural. It wasn't like one of those instances where it's like, oh, I'm just in this room and I dropped the toilet paper and it rolled right to this thing.
It wasn't super contrived.
The other thing I kind of felt, not that this is in a bad way, I felt there was a little bit of like video gaminess to it, like kind of like a horror adventure game,
like an escape the room challenge.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, the finding of the rope and all that stuff, like felt sort of like, oh, this wasn't like an accidental stumble on the rope. Like it felt
immersive.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It does. It puts you really in the situation, like, well, of the, I would call her the protagonist personally.
Well, right, until about halfway through, because then we don't even interact with her for another 20 minutes or so.
It puts you in the vantage point of the person discovering
I think once we get to, you know, a point that happens later in the movie, I can elaborate on it a little further, but I feel like a theme in this movie is a lot of we are all the star of our own show. Okay, you know, so while
wait a minute, bro.
So while it's like, you know, so we're following, what's her name, the girl?
One sec.
Tess. We're following Tess for the beginning of this movie. And it's like, okay, this is Tess's story. We're going along with Tess. That's what's happening. And like, then she has this run-in with Skarsgård. And it's like, okay, well, now their stories are intersecting. After that, it does that smash cut to Justin Long. And we follow Justin Long without even seeing Tess. Like, we've seen traces of her existence, but we don't see Tess the person for at least 20, 30 minutes.
We don't even know if she's still alive.
Yeah. And so now Justin Long is our, you know, our protagonist.
Our window into that.
That hard cut to that was so, I thought was so, so well done.
I hated it the first time.
I did too. I mean, when you cut directly to the car and it's so jarring,
right? And it lets me know because I'm roughly around the halfway mark. I know that I haven't even begun to find out what else is going on here.
Yeah,
because I'm like, what the fuck else do you have going on here?
Yeah,
what keeps taking you in different directions? Like you, like with the introduction of the tropes, you expect one thing and you get presented another thing. And
then they do another fucking thing where they do a flashback sequence to the previous inhabitant or the permanent or the guy who's
So I think this is a good place to say I think we're going to get heavy into spoilers from here.
The guy who's fucking been in the house for years. And
yeah.
They do tie in the fact that this is Michigan, and this is like a town that has thrived and survived off a corporate enterprise being there. And when they leave the town, the town's fucked.
So,
and he's like,
real quick on it being in Michigan, my friend that I went to Maiden with is originally from Detroit, and she said a lot of houses have those kind of underground... things like I don't know, tunnels and passageways or whatever to that extent, or if she just means like basements and underground shit. But she said a lot of the houses in Detroit
even using Detroit as a setting, I think is such a cool choice, because you know, we've seen other horror movies that have used run down Detroit
it follows
you know, to an extent. Fucking what's the turkey baster come
old guy? Yeah, yeah.
Don't breathe.
It's that better than Mandy.
Contention, by the way, this was basically initially the same movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, the fucking structure's not anything. Just because you've got a fuck in a place with a
there are similar elements. It's a stretch to call them the same movie, and I was partially being hyperbolic, but I was also angry at the film.
But
I was angry at your
Detroit as like Detroit in these films has become a character.
I was just about to say that.
I you know, what fascinating thing to me is when you have man-made structures, you know, homes, buildings, whatever, and you take the humans out of it, how nature takes over is really fascinating to me. Like, what is it about humans not being around houses that causes the destruction? Because it's just plants. It's just like plants and rain and fucking wind.
It's all that maintenance.
Well, that's what I mean. So like without
basically is all those control issues.
When it's years of neglect too, and you talk about the town being a character, especially once she goes out in the daylight and you see that this one house in the middle of everything is just like in, you know, near pristine condition, where everything around it is just overrun, run down, and just absolutely looking like shit. And it instantly puts you on edge that there's something not right about this house, because it's the only thing that hasn't been engulfed by just lack of existence.
It's like opposite gentrification. It's
weird. Yeah. And you know,
no, I'm just kidding.
It sets up kind of like, it's like a post-apocalyptic type deal, but it's not like Mad Max. It's just this little area that no one gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
So the point is made really well too, when the cops go there to respond to this call. And I mean, it does, it shows that the socio-political stuff is, at the end of the day, it's inseparable from these issues, because this is socio-political stuff.
Well, yeah.
It literally is. The cops are not fucking paid to go police these areas. They know people are living there. They know fucked up shit's going on there. There's a lot of homeless.
There's a lot of drugs. And when she interacts with the police, she's covered in dirt and filth. You know, she looks like she hasn't bathed. She has no ID. Like, she's acting erratically. And the cops just see her as like another crackhead. And they're very dismissive. Even when they go to the house, like any fucking cop with half a brain cell is going to look at that window and realize it was broken from the inside.
Well, unless they're going home with Jeffrey Dahmer to you know, escort a 14-year-old Laotian boy, boy from Laos, back to an apartment and assume he's an adult and that they had a lover's quarrel. And as soon as they leave, he's going to get his fucking head drilled in and his corpse fucking railed while he becomes lobotomized. And so... I digress, but you see what I'm saying, right?
I'm right there with you. Yeah. Although you can't lobotomize a corpse.
Well, yes. His body is so violated.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's kind of a similar deal. They go in the house with her, or up to the house, and then they're just like, they fucking leave her there. And even when they leave too, you get the vibe too that even if something was going on, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And... that it doesn't, it's not like, oh, this is it's exaggerated. Like, it's a heightened reality the movie exists in, obviously, but it doesn't feel that exaggerated.
No, because like, I mean, the cops, like, you could tell the cops don't want to be doing their job. Even when they leave her, they're responding to a shots fired call, and like, there's no sense of urgency. They just walk to the right. You know, to the cruiser and get in.
Yeah.
So, okay, you're talking about, like, you know, disheveled bodies and shit. There's a I think the title Barbarian is in reference to the man we're introduced to later in the film, which in my head ties back in with the whole, like, everybody being the star of their own show, because I feel like the movie is named after that guy. And since we're catching the very end of his story, like the conclusion of his story, but everything that's happening in this is revolving around events that he's done that have all led to this. So I think, like, while we're seeing these other stories unfolding, ultimately Barbarian is the finishing up of this serial killer story.
I think it's linking the impulses of, you have this beastly woman who's the product of three or four generations of inbreeding, right? You have the dad who is the progenitor of this. And then you have a person like Justin Long who is only out for their own, what's the word? Self.
He wants to get his.
He only wants to get his.
He wants that come. He wants that come up.
He wants, yeah. And it has to do basically with, I mean, for lack of a better thing, with capitalism. It has to do with, like, fuck, he wants the come up. He's self-serving and he's an opportunist. And he's got very similar impulses. It just hasn't been registered the same way as this other fucking dude. And so I think it's drawing a link between the innocuous, self-serving, narcissistic, spotlight fucking deal with someone like Justin Long and the extreme version of this, which is this guy who's like, I'm going to have a daughter, and as soon as she becomes 12, I'm going to impregnate her. And then as soon as she becomes 12, I'm going to impregnate her. I'm going to do this for 40 years till it produces a fucking beast woman. And it's saying that at bottom, the impulses of both of these have more in common than they have different. Regardless of the fucking
moments. Right. Well, see, and then
at the end, what Justin Long does, out, you know, he fucking.
Well, so yeah, he at the very end, he makes a comment like he accidentally shoots Tess, and like as they're sitting there, he says, "No, this is my fault. I have to fix it. Like, I may not be a good person, but I can change." And then, literally within 2 minutes, he's doing one of the most reprehensible things he does in the entire movie, and fucking yeets her off a water tower. Which, like, okay, I may not have liked the movie the first time, but when he fucking yeeted her, dude, I popped so hard.
And his whole reasoning, he's saying it out loud, like, "You're gonna have to keep him busy." you're gonna have to, you know, I forget exactly what he says, dude, but freaking, and then he throws her off the water tower, and then he gets down to ground level, and then once he sees she's gasping and still alive, he's like,
"Oh, I did this.
Oh, I'm sorry, you slipped."
Well, see, he's trying to control the narrative again, you know, so he, you know, is...
Well, the dude down in the basement would have never said anything like that. He would just be like, "No, I'm trying to kill you and rape you."
And then, well, that's the thing, too. Yeah, for Justin Long, it's like he does these reprehensible things, and then he tries to justify them, and he tries to play the victim. The other guy, for whatever was on those tapes, and they don't show us the tapes, but whatever it is totally grosses out Justin Long to the point where somebody who's an admitted rapist, even if he won't say it outright, is watching what's on these tapes, and he's just like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Well, because in his mind, in his mind, his rape isn't a rape. He's just fooling around with some girl who took a little bit extra convincing,
right?
Well, look, and I don't mean to, this isn't to, but they are. Look, I'm not saying what he does is a rape. But it's not the same thing as what the guy does.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
the
yeah.
The impulses and the fucking... The impulses are the same. The impulses are the same, right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The methodology and duration and, you know, fucking... The measures taken are not exactly the same. But yeah, his is easier for him to minimize and justify, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. What else you got, man?
Then when he shot himself. So like the first time I watched it, I was like, why did that fucking old guy shoot himself all of a sudden? Like, I don't fucking get it. And like, even Jacob was like, well, I think he just couldn't reach the drawer for all those years. And I was like, that sounds so fucking dumb though. That's such a stupid idea.
Really bleak.
No, but it's, I don't think that was it. Yeah. So I think what happened was like, he was not planning on killing himself at all. Because what happened was he's pointing, and then when Justin Long gets him the water, he takes a drink of water. If you're planning on killing yourself, you're not going to drink water. That's like a self-preservation thing. So at that point, he had no intention of killing himself. The next line Justin Long says is like, don't worry, I'm going to get out and get help. There will be cops swarming this place in no time. And you kind of see this like gear click in the old man's head. And then he starts pointing for the gun again, or for the thing again.
Yeah.
Did you tell me that in the text? Yeah. Where he says he's going to be swarming with cops?
Because look, this guy hasn't had any outside perspective except the people that he's creating and raping and killing down there.
Yeah.
He hasn't had any outside perspective in presumably years and years and years, right? And so, and he's sickly, and he's not doing well, and presumably he rings this bell for the woman beast to get him stuff when he needs it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming is the deal.
Which, like, how do they survive? Where are they getting food? Where are they getting water?
She comes out at night.
When he
mentions the cops and the swarming and this and that, I think he's like, yeah, fuck all that. I'm done.
It's done.
He realizes that, like, once they find him, they're not going to take him to, like, a hospice care or something. They're going to be like, oh, shit, what are these VHS? And then he's going to, like, live out the rest of his days in jail.
Yeah, and he wants to live on his terms, which is the whole thing. And he has lived on his terms. I mean, I'm not saying they're good terms, but he's lived how he wanted to. He said, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He made that fucking clear to his neighbor, right? Years, decades before.
Yep.
And he didn't. He stayed there the whole time and lived this
way. Well, yeah, he had that whole torture chamber thing built. Like, what is the extent of that underground area? You know, like, does it sprawl for miles? Is it just, like, confined right there?
Well, and also, we don't know if that was not part of the structure before he was a resident. I mean, this could have been
like underground railroad stuff, maybe. Yeah.
You know, there's that aspect. And then there's that element, too, where it just reminds you that you never know what the fuck's going on
beneath the surface.
Somebody on Reddit,
subconscious thing.
I saw a comment that was like, this movie should have just been called Men, because it's like,
yeah.
I think it explores toxic masculinity.
I got it.
Toxic masculinity. To a far better degree than Men did. It was not that rape culture has to be like a subtle subject, but I never felt like I was beaten over the head by like Men bad. You know,
no. It shows, doesn't tell.
Yeah. Right?
Why didn't it have like an Alex Garland trip out sequence of a man giving birth to himself?
I mean, fair point.
There's a thing called subtlety.
Fair point. I never felt like any of the topics that it was exploring were very heavy handed. You know, even the coincidental stuff where Tess is talking to, Skarsgård in the beginning when he's like, oh yeah, I'm like, I created this fucking jazz troupe and blah 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 blah. Even that stuff to me was like, okay, like the coincidence of this doesn't bug me. Like I felt
like he was lying. I still felt like he was luring her in.
Exactly. That was on purpose to get us to be led a certain way. But yeah, you weren't worried about that potential contrivance anyway.
Yeah, no. I mean, because after, you know,
which is weird for you.
Okay. After, isn't it though?
Yeah.
You know, I was like on board with everything that it's doing, the film, in terms of like, you know,
it wasn't fucking annoying.
It wasn't annoying.
That helps.
Yep.
Go figure.
It helps when your film isn't annoying. Shit.
Damn, who'd have thunk?
No, but okay, like, so to kind of rewind a little bit, when they first start showing the area and they get to the room with the camera. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. When I'm talking about not knowing how far this goes, literally, we don't know how far it goes.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know it was going to keep going and then going and keep going. And then when we get to Barbarian Woman, like when we get to she goes in after him, which on the one hand, I'm pissed because I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? On the other hand, I'm like, I need to see what's in there. Go in there.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that whole ambivalence. that is part of a human experience. It's like, do I need to know or can I leave? It's like, I need to fucking know. I need to know. So go in, go into the fucking cave you fear to enter and see what the fuck is going on in there. And we still don't know. And then she shows up out of nowhere, and it's you know, I'm not big on the found footage genre.
You love it.
I'm not big on it, mostly. It uses some techniques of found footage when they're in there, if you ask me, where they have to rely on this very limited light.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that.
Well, it even does like first person, like Doom Cam a couple times, which exactly. I thought was kind of.
Yeah, that was really rad with Justin Long and the flashlight and the gun.
And the thought in my head was, I was like, thank God they didn't lean into this the whole time and make this a fucking found footage movie.
Yeah.
I could have easily done that somehow. And I don't know what contrivance they'd come up with that it would be, but there's always something like that. But I like that they used some techniques from found footage because it made sense in that context there. And also, it means things are obscured. I don't have a clear image of what the fuck killed him or got him and all that. And then, eventually, though, when Justin Long goes in there and he ends up in that fucking pit with her, you're like,
cool. Oh, she puts her titty in his mouth.
Yeah, you're like, cool, she's still alive. And then it's like, God damn, how long has she been down there? And then she's like, fucking take the bottle. And then the titty in the mouth in the room. And then, like, the only thing she's been watching for, like, 20 or 30 years. This is like
baby rearing video.
Is the baby rearing video and like all of that, like that shit is wild, dude.
Dude, and that's like, you know, they make the comments throughout the film. It's like she just wants you to be her baby. And it's like, at first I'm like, yeah, well, no shit. Thanks for explaining everything. And then at the end, she has this moment where, like, after Justin Long has had his eyes gouged out and his head split open, like a fucking
it's a good scene.
Like a fresh baked bread, like the creature comes over and it's almost like she's begging to be put out of her misery, you know. And she does the cute little like acknowledgement and love thing, and then they have this moment between them where Tess realizes that this creature that's been tormenting her essentially for weeks is also a victim. Like, she didn't ask to be this inbred crazy underground dweller. She just wants to have a normal life and have a baby. And you know, like,
you know what that was right there, and Jorge's gonna know what I'm referring to right there. That was Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. Yeah, mom.
Well, and that's what it's showing, because it's about impulse. Like, she's just a creature. She is a mama. She has the impulse. Her natural instinct is to have children and be a mother. So regardless of the fucking the inbreeding and all of the stuff and her environment, she still wants to freaking have a child and be a mom. And then that, dude, I love that scene that she looks at her like that and then she shoots her in the fucking face.
Yep. And then it cuts to smash cuts to credits.
It smash cuts to the fucking Be My Baby song, which I'm like, okay.
A little on the nose, but.
It's a little on the nose, but I'm also like, you know what?
I see you.
Yeah. So I'm good with that. Coop, one of our listeners, beloved listener.
Who just sent us some t-shirts.
Yeah, some dope-ass shirts.
He sent us some dope-ass shirts of Calgi's art for our recent Jason X episode. And thank you. But
one out of 10 movie, 10 out of 10 t-shirt. Yeah,
it's the only yellow shirt I have ever or will ever own.
He had sent me an article, and I wanted to make sure he mentioned it, where Justin Long was talking about the director, Zach Kreger, he was trying to pitch the movie to him, and he didn't want to tell him this part that was part of the script, but he went on a limb and told him. And it's a part where she baby birds Justin Long, like a rat that she's
eating. Oh, that's dope.
And then that's what sold Justin Long completely. He's like, we need to do that.
I'm in.
So
they didn't do that.
They shot this scene, but it didn't get released in theaters, but it's going to be on, they said to anticipate it on video.
Oh, nice.
The director's cut.
You know, I have the same kind of feeling about Justin Long as I do with Elijah Wood, with like the horror stuff, where they both have done really, really cool stuff with the genre. You know, even though I don't like the film, like Tusk, he was pretty good in.
They're doing a sequel to that.
What else was Justin?
Jeepers Creepers, the first one. You know, he's been in a handful of horror stuff.
By the way, that is supposed to be top the bottom five material.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, we got
it. I don't think we did an episode on three, but it was bad.
It's, I mean, that's now 10 movies that We're 10 movies deep that we have to think about.
All the bad ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember The Whitest Kids You Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Zach Cregger was...
Cregger!
He was one of the executive producers for that show. So the director of this. He just got kind of got going with directing. But he was the one of the executive producers for Whitest Kid You Know. And also, he was various roles, so he's part of the cast. So this guy comes from a absurd comedy background.
That fits.
Which makes fucking sense.
Yeah, it tracks.
So that's pretty cool. And look at, you see him? That's Cregger.
It's Cregger.
Cregger!
What else, Mateo?
I think that's it, man. That's
so what's your favorite movie of the year?
No, I don't think so.
It's The Malignant of 2022.
I heard some of that.
That kind of goes with.
I heard some of that.
I don't think so.
I like its zaniness, though. I do. I mean, oh, when you say, let's talk about this. It doesn't quite stick the landing.
Yeah, I think that, I think anything, the stuff, is it a water tower?
And then, dude, that trope of like the black dude who's like, oh.
She won't come through she ain't never come here before. And then,
yeah. Okay, so that's the one trope that does actually get followed through on. Good. is there's the mystic black character that does the expo dump and then says something ghetto and gets murdered.
Hold up, though.
It's like, if he didn't say that one ghetto thing, he wouldn't have got murdered.
Here's the thing, the context of this area.
This one works.
It works more than it usually does.
But it's still the expo dump. And then he's like, because I've been living up in here for 15 years and she ain't never come up in this motherfucker. And then, like, he said, up until then, he'd just been like, yeah, you know, she comes out and she hunts at night. But that one sentence, he's like, up in this motherfucker. Like, and she fucking snatched his ass, ripped his fucking arm off.
By that time, I'm like, good.
I think that the individual moments of the ending are okay. Like her getting yeeted off of the water tower is a great scene, and then fucking and Mama, you know, yeeting herself off of the. I just didn't
shooting her in the face after she says baby.
Yeah. I guess like the culmination of everything at the very end feels a little bit like, okay, we got 5 minutes. We got to wrap this shit up. Let's go. Water tower. Black dude dies. Fucking yeet off the thing. Shoot her in the face. Fucking shoot Justin Long. We're fucking, you know,
which kind of makes sense though, because like, I mean, if you think about it, if you're in a situation like this, there's a good chance it's going to end abruptly. Like when there's only three people alive, like, and one or two need to die, it's going to happen quick. You know, like they get thrown off and you think, okay, they're dead. Justin Long lived. And then it's like, ha ha, Justin Long is still alive. Took 1 second for that gunshot, you know? So like, I think the pacing of events is not bad, but like we do have a lot of movie up until the, okay, we're wrapping shit up. And then it's like the whole climax does happen pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, does it? Because she goes back in and she, like, runs her over and she saves Justin Long and they come out of the house, or she gets shot and then they come out of the house. Yeah, the whole time. Even when she gets pulled out by the homeless guy, like, you kind of think she's going to, like, be chasing because there's that trope. But then you've been subverted so many times that you don't think you're actually going to see her. But she full on comes out of the window trying to reach on her and, like, pretty good.
Trying to yeet on her.
I do want to mention, too, it was mentioned on the front end of this, where the modern aspect of this. So you got, like, the Airbnb, the anxiety of, like, you know, the double booking thing. And when you get an Airbnb, you really don't know the history of the place and the owner of the place. There's a lot of, like, ambiguities there, right? And things you don't know. But also, like, the thing with the texting, the thing with Justin Long Googling shit in real time to figure
out. Oh, yep.
Like, that's, like... And I'm not saying, oh, I want to see more of that, but you don't see a lot of that, and that's part of fucking...
Well, even his reaction to, or lack of reaction to things, like, yeah. when he first encounters that room with the bloody bed, he doesn't even bat an eye at it. He just measures the entire room, and he even moves the bed around and sits on the bed. He doesn't give a shit. And then
it works best as satire, but also I can imagine someone this oblivious.
Yeah, and when he starts measuring down the hallway and he sees those bloody rusted cages, he goes, "What is this?" And then he measures around it.
Like, yeah, I'm like, dude, this is a lot of square footage we're getting out of this bitch.
It's like a really good skit in the middle of the movie.
Yeah,
whatever. It's like the centerpiece of the movie for me.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
All right.
So
that's like 5.5 thumbs up.
Yeah. It kind of sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad.
What's next then? Is it time?
I don't know.
Is it time for...
We had a timeline and then we missed... I
know. It's time for Smile and Hocus Pocus.
Oh, God.
Is it?
Smile. Yeah, it's Smile.
Oh, yeah. It comes out today. Today's the advanced screening.
What if it's good?
If it's good, I'm not going to let it be good. Yeah, it's time for Smile and a...
I'd much rather it be really good than middling. It needs to be really good or really bad.
My God, man.
All right. Well, that's the Who Goes Your Podcast for episode 365. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia. I'm the only one that said hi to you tonight.
Don't ever.
Just remember. Just remember.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.